Are you ready? You want the noise brought on you? Because here it comes.
What?
The noise brought on you? Because here it comes.
This is my job.
Showtime. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Ready.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
Is this show getting more and more difficult for you to do?
That's gotta be it!
Jeff Lutz.
This isn't that hard.
There are so many great things to do with the human mouth. Why waste it on talking?
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Stand by for action.
Hello again, everybody. It's a Monday. It's a Monday edition of the Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz co-hosting. Max Power is our producer and our engineer. 869-1240, the phone number. How you been? How's your weekend? Everything good?
Tired.
You seem a little tired. I was just going to make that comment.
No, you weren't. What were you really going
to
say?
Why do you seem tired to me?
I don't know. It's tired. Getting back into the swing of things, and the early part of the week is tough sometimes. When you've had a weekend to relax, you're supposed to be refreshed and recharged, but I don't think it really works that way.
You know, it seems like the days of the week didn't used to matter to me, and now they matter a lot.
Same.
Why is that? What happened?
Well, because you were doing a job that they kind of all ran together. You'd go cover a game on a Sunday. You'd be off on a Tuesday. You'd go work on a Friday night. And it didn't really matter. Now it matters.
Well, I still kind of work the day. I don't know. I don't like Mondays.
I don't think anybody does. But Tuesday is really what you got to watch out for.
Tuesday doesn't really get me.
Tuesday is the one you really got to watch out
for. Why?
Well, Monday presents itself as it is. It's Monday. Tuesday is still the early week. You're still kind of tired from the weekend. It's still a long week to go.
I don't recall ever being tired from the weekend.
Tuesday sneaks up on you. Monday doesn't.
Was I tired from the weekend?
Monday's an honest day.
Answer my question.
I don't know what you were. How would I know that?
Well, you live with me.
Didn't pay any attention.
Well, thanks a lot. I had things going on. I didn't have time to be tired.
Everybody has time to be tired.
Well, that must mean all you did like this weekend was sleep.
I don't like those people. I don't have time to be tired. I'm going to attack the day.
Not that person, but I don't recall being tired from the weekend.
Okay.
Maybe I was. I don't know.
I don't do anything on the weekend except nothing.
Well, exactly.
Did we do anything this weekend? I don't think we even left the house.
How is it without the youngster?
That's a little different.
Get into it. Tell us how it is.
It's a little different.
Just a little different.
Yeah, a little different.
How are the cats hanging?
Oh, they're fine. Only one of them was truly attached to her, and she's going through it a little bit. It'll be a process for her.
Well, I think Aaron would disagree that only one of the cats was truly attached.
Well, I don't think she would disagree with that, because Nettie is my cat. Allie doesn't really pay attention to anybody. And Sue is just... I can't think of another word, so I'll just say a blank for attention. You can fill in whatever word you want to in that blank.
I don't know what that means.
She'll go to anyone. It doesn't really matter.
So we've filled our fantasy draft, for the most part. A guy named Don reached out.
Don?
Yeah. Said he really enjoyed the show, thought it was hilarious, and you were the most hilarious. I almost didn't put him in.
Really?
Yeah, because that's really the first time I've ever heard that.
What's up with Don? Where is Don?
Let me read exactly what was said. Because
was he trying to tweak you, or was this sincere?
You know I'm not petty.
Not at all.
And
I figured you'd go to another one of those fake, and he really enjoyed me, and he loved me, and I was funny. But
you know I would never hold that against you.
You actually told the truth this time, so let's hear it.
This is Don. Gives his last name. No need for that. What I was trying to say yesterday was I think you guys are hilarious, especially Jeff, and I hope that doesn't hurt your feelings. I have a feeling it really doesn't. Tell you what it does, Don.
Did Don call?
Don't worry about Don.
Well, what was he trying to say the other day?
Don't worry about it.
Was he on the air?
You notice he didn't reach out to you.
And it's hard to get a hold of me.
And you know why? Because it's obvious who the ringleader here is.
Because he wanted to tell you that he liked me better.
Listen,
which is sweet.
I'm sure there are people out there who prefer you. I had another interaction on my favorite thing, Twitter, with another guy.
I saw all that.
Who took me to task.
He doesn't like our show anymore. That's okay. A lot of people don't. I don't even like it sometimes.
Why would you say that?
I like it most of the time.
But why would you say that?
Because nobody's perfect.
Why would you indicate that you don't like our show?
I just told you. Nobody's perfect. Sometimes it's not our best. This is one of our best shows so far, though, I think.
Because you got praise.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Pretty big deal.
Well, how do you find these messages, these interactions?
I don't know.
Where do I go to?
Mentions, at, replies, well, I don't
where
know.
Where do I go?
Just go to your own stuff.
Where do I go?
Nowhere on that. Go to your profile.
Go to my profile. There it is. Now what?
Go to your replies and then see
where
what
are the replies?
The second one over.
That's a reply?
No, the second one over.
That
go
one?
To your profile. Up. Not your home. Your profile.
You're making me seem old.
You are.
There.
Look, there's four things, right?
Five.
No, not there.
Oh, replies?
Yeah.
By the way, is there anything there? Oh. Yeah, here it is. No? I don't see it. Oh, here it is.
Here it is.
This guy's name is Chuck Finley Forever.
Really? He's an old Angels fan, maybe?
And he was responding to somebody else. Thomas Blair, who also attacked me over the weekend. Why do I get attacked? I wasn't doing anything.
I know. It's okay. People are angry.
Why do I get attacked? I'm just minding my own business. But this guy, Thomas Blair, attacks me, first of all. And this guy, Chuck Finley, is forever. He can't even use his real name.
Well, worse guys to tribute than Chuck.
If you're tuning into Sports Daily, first of all, we're Bob and Jeff. We're not Sports Daily. For anything other than nonsensical, angry rambling where sports are never actually discussed in a coherent manner.
Well, that's fair.
You'll be disappointed. But hey, Bob yelled at Jeff about the Cardinals again. Eventually, he ended with this. Let me find it.
Good grief. Have you ever operated anything technological?
I'm not great with it. Anyway, told me he was around me once, and I was nice to people.
Remember with that caller we had named Chuck?
No, that's not.
I know that, but I just...
That Chuck is a superb...
I know. I'm not saying they're the same person.
Let me talk.
Can I talk?
No.
I want to hear from that Chuck again. Where'd he go?
Don't worry about him.
I'm worried about him.
I'll say this about this Chuck. It's fine if you don't like me. I let that stuff roll off my back. I rarely even mention it.
You're mentioning it right now.
Rare. It's a rare.
Only every time.
It's a rare occurrence. Here's
I don't
what
think
I like.
That it is.
Here's what I would appreciate. I'm not hurting anybody. Just sitting in my recliner, probably with my dog, rubbing her neck, whatever I'm doing, and suddenly I get attacked on Twitter. Does that seem right to you?
As I said, a lot of people are angry. A lot of people are going to take something seemingly innocuous and turn it into something where they can spout whatever worldview they have, and we're off to the races after that.
Well, I don't understand that. I never do that. I never attack somebody.
There's a lot of angst. I don't get where all... I mean, I have angst too, but it is rarely over... that kind of stuff. It's rarely over the political climate in our nation. Just have my own personal angst, and I try to deal with it internally.
What did I post that started?
You said it was a great country or something like that.
It is a great country.
I think most of us can agree with that.
But that doesn't mean we're flawless.
It's not a perfect country.
It doesn't mean we don't have issues. I'd rather live here than anywhere else, and so would these clowns. Yeah, you heard me. If I'm going to get attacked for saying we live in a great country, then I'm going to call these people that are doing the attacking clowns.
Well, you said it in response to a clip of our former president. And again, while it was probably mostly innocuous, probably some people felt that there was some meaning behind you posting that, and then they had to rebound with their own meaning.
Well, good for them. My feeling is that anybody who says we're not a great country, I'm going to fight back on it. Anybody who says that.
All right.
And that used to be appreciated. That's patriotism, right?
Well, there's patriotism that, you know, we're a great country. There's patriotism that says, hey, we got a lot of work to do. There's patriotism that says, you know, I'd rather live here than anywhere else. There are many different forms of patriotism.
I'm all of those.
And as soon as one patriot accepts the ideas of another patriot, then we'll be starting to make some progress.
It's fine if you want to be a naysayer to some degree against things that happen in our country, that's fine. But to say we're not a great country, come on. That's all. What do you have? Why am I even talking to you about this? You weren't involved in my
battle. You brought it up.
You didn't have anything to say.
Sure didn't.
You didn't come to my defense.
Nope.
Now, I want to hear you come to the defense of the Cleveland Guardians.
Not going
to
do it. Not even
here we are, ladies and
gentlemen.
Not even
going to talk about the Cleveland Guardians.
Here we are.
I'm not going to talk about the Cleveland Guardians until they have promoted a left-handed hitter from AAA. And that could be Juan Brito. It can be George Valera.
I told you to watch out for that weekend. I told you that into Milwaukee.
But again, it's nothing Milwaukee did, okay? This is a team that can't hit anymore.
I don't know what to tell you. I told you to be careful. I told you the Royals. The
Milwaukee
Royals go into Cincinnati
they can
and just
pitch
annihilate the Reds.
Yeah, because they can hit.
And then Minnesota takes care of its business. What are you up now? Game and a half?
Two.
Three over the Royals?
Yes.
Royals have the second best run differential in the American League.
Well, as they should.
They start what is the upcoming schedule?
I don't know. We've got the Yankees. They probably play the Rochester Red Chiefs or whatever they used to be called. That's Syracuse. But you know what I'm talking about.
No, I really don't. It's the Syracuse Chiefs and the Rochester Red Wings.
Yeah, was I pretty close?
I'm always on it.
Well, that's probably who the Royals are playing this week.
They don't play tonight. No, they do. They have the Angels coming in to start a three-game
series. Like I said.
You're off today, and then you start a series with the Yankees. The Twins don't play today, I don't believe, and they start a series tomorrow with the Padres, which will be a tough one.
It will.
So, no, that series starts tonight. I may tune in for some of that. I feel your pain. I almost reached out to you, but
you don't. There's no need.
I don't have anything to offer you.
There's nothing to offer.
You're still 20 over 500.
Yeah, but it's a 500 team for the last 2 months or more. I wish this is a time of year when teams that are serious play seriously.
I told you a week and a half ago that the Royals were going to win that division. You scoffed.
But they're not going to win the division. The Guardians are trying to lose it. That's all it is.
The Royals have the Angels and then get this stretch, okay? At home against the Phillies, four in Cleveland, which will be, you won't even want to be in town for that.
Well, I'm not going to be in Cleveland, but I'll be here and I'll revel in it.
Three at Houston. So a very difficult stretch after these games with the Angels. Four with Houston, actually. Then three at home against Cleveland, three at home against Minnesota, three in New York against the Yankees. Ugh. If the Royals come out of this still in the race, which I think they will.
They'll still be in the race.
I think they will come out of this.
They might be a game or two worse than they are now, but they're not going to be out of it by any stretch of the imagination. It's a tough stretch, but the Royals have shown themselves to be a pretty tough team. I'm told I will be attending the Monday affair in Kansas City which I'm really skeptical about.
Why would you want to do that?
Well, it's a family outing.
What family?
My stepfather's side of the family.
Cleveland has the Yankees at home against Texas, at home against Kansas City, then at home against Pittsburgh.
That's really where they got to take charge of the situation.
Then, at Kansas City, three games in L.A. against the Dodgers, three games against the White Sox. Then you've got Tampa Bay, Minnesota, at home, on the road against St. Louis, Cincinnati for two at home. You end the season with three against the Astros. Certainly not a simple schedule either.
No, not easy, but no schedules are.
Going to be a great chase.
A lot of major league teams playing in the major leagues that are tough to beat.
I am astounded at what the Royals have done. I don't care. I'm not. That doesn't mean I'm a fan. That doesn't. It's just to go from 56 wins and to have your front office and your ownership go out and make the moves they made. Michael Wacha is pitching like he pitched in St. Louis when he was very young.
The Royals,
it's all worked out. Every move they make right now is working.
Well, the Royals put their money where their mouths were. And their mouth, well, I don't want to take that analogy too far, but their first act was signing Bobby Witt to a long-term extension.
Right.
And yes, that's money, but that's also making a statement that, hey, we're going to build around this guy. And then what they do,
cornerstone.
They built around him. How novel of a concept.
And now they got Pasquantino, who looks like he's going to establish himself as a run producer. MJ Melendez has had a better run lately. They've got some guys. Salvador Perez is still productive. Darren Blanco just tore the cover off the ball.
I've always liked him.
This week.
He's a little older. He's close to 30, I think. But when he came through Northwest Arkansas a few years ago, he looked dynamite. And I never understood why he didn't get a longer look in Kansas City. Maybe now he will be.
Boy, you're as tightly wound as you could possibly be.
I know what's going on here.
It's almost uncomfortable even.
I wish I had a front office that was bold.
Join the line, my friend. I got all kinds of problems myself. Here's what we have on the show today. Coming up shortly in our second segment, Joseph Duarte from the Houston Chronicle. We continue Big 12 football previews for our third week. With 16 teams, these last forever.
That's how it works.
Joseph Duarte on the Houston Cougars at 2:25. At 2:45, Blair Kirchhoff checks in from the Kansas City Star. We'll talk to him about the Royals, the Chiefs, all that good stuff. And later in the show, in hour number two at 3:25, Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports, will talk college football. We'll have a Bob and Jeff draft.
We will.
In there at some point. Yeah, we will.
What we're going to draft today is NFL teams, and we're going to see at the end of the year who has a better overall record.
All right, that's fine. I'll go head-to-head.
Yeah, let's do it.
I'll go head-to-head with anybody.
Well, let's go.
I forgot to post last week's candy.
I don't even know what it was. Well, I would have won that easy, so it's all good.
I need to do that.
It's weird how you forget to post the ones where it's an absolute
route. No, I feel good about
it.
I feel good about it. I need to get that on Twitter. I'll do that during the break. Last week's Bob and Jeff draft. We'll take a break now. When we return, we'll do some more football talk. University of Houston Cougars. They are not expected to be a mainstream challenger for the Big 12 championship. We'll see if they have aspirations to get into the middle of the pack. We'll talk to Joseph Duarte from the Houston Chronicle next.
This
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
We'll get Joseph Duarte here in a moment to talk Houston football. He's he took a call from a source, so he's getting some information for us.
Yeah, that's big.
Yeah, but he said he'll be with us shortly.
Can't wait. Got a lot of lot of burning questions about
as
Houston
Joseph tries
football.
To appease me.
Sure.
You are tired today. You don't have much energy.
Who said?
You're just not rising to the occasion.
Well, I don't know what's going on. I stay up late to watch TV, and I shouldn't.
What'd you watch?
Watching too much TV.
What'd you watch?
Oh, last night I was watching John Oliver, and it bored me to tears, but what are you going to do?
We got hung up on Newhart reruns again. We're almost through season one. And we enjoy it. It's just very relaxing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. But do whatever you want. Do what makes you happy.
It takes me back to another time, and it's fun to watch Bob Newhart in his glory.
He's a funny man. I watched a movie yesterday called Treasure.
Oh, I want to tell you something else.
Go for it.
No, I don't care about Treasure.
You should watch it. It's very good.
Okay, what's it on?
I watched it on Amazon Prime.
What's it about?
It's about in the early 90s, a girl is going to go to Poland to see where her dad grew up. Her dad ends up going with her, and they tour, you know, the terrible places that he had to endure, including Auschwitz.
Well, there you go.
Lena Dunham, is that her name?
Yeah.
Is that?
So we, now you made me forget what I was going to say.
Is that her name, Lena Dunham?
You made me forget what I was going to say.
You're going to tell me something else.
YouTube, which is a treasure trove. It's always a treasure trove. Yesterday I get on YouTube, and what do I find?
I'm
going through, it pops up what it thinks I'll like. So it popped up the Johnny Carson Memorial Show on Larry King Live with Rickles, Carl Reiner, Joan Rivers, Mike Douglas, Merv Griffin, fantastic. And then the next night on Larry King Live, they had Ed McMahon and Doc Severinsen on to talk about Johnny Carson. And couldn't get enough, just lapped it up. It was so good. And I don't recall, I'm sure I watched that, right?
Rickles, probably, I don't know.
Rickles on the Memorial Show for...
You would think that was only what, like not
2005?
Not even 20 years ago?
Surely I watched that.
You would think.
I didn't remember it if I did, so it was all great.
Were we at
YouTube's unbelievable.
Do you remember where you were when you found out Johnny Carson died?
No.
Because I believe I was at a Wichita State basketball game.
That's one I don't remember that you would think I would.
It might have been a women's game because I was covering the game, but I think it was a men's game. Let's find out.
I don't remember that one.
That's fair. I'm going to find out though.
I don't for sure know what I was doing when I found out Rickles had died.
That's a tough one.
That is a tough one. I believe now you're one of those irritating guys who checks everything out.
I am.
And especially with me, because there's nothing you enjoy more in your life than pointing out when I'm wrong.
Well, I was wrong about the Johnny Carson thing. He died on January 23rd. Wichita State played Southern Illinois on January 22nd.
So you couldn't have been more wrong.
And no, I couldn't have.
Joseph Duarte calling my number. I can't get him on.
Well, I'm sure, Max will take that information and run with it and call Joseph Duarte on his own, and we'll get Joseph Duarte on the show to talk about...
Max, I'm gonna go ahead and suggest that we get Joseph back here at 3 o'clock.
We got plenty of time.
If he's willing to do that. Okay.
We got plenty of time.
Joseph, hello, welcome. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Did you get a good scoop?
Not for what we're on to talk about, but I'm working every angle. The job never stops.
Well, there you go. We understand that. We did your job for a long time. So tell us about the Houston Cougars. They got a new coach, an exciting coach, a guy who has some Kansas ties, and Willie Fritz did a phenomenal job at Tulane. How big is this job to get Houston into a viable contending spot in this massive conference now, the Big 12?
Well, first, thanks for having me on. And, you know, this is one of the few interviews I ever do where they don't want to talk about the men's basketball program and Kelvin Sampson. So that shows you a little bit about what the interest is like now with the University of Houston in football. And Willie Fritz has certainly he's left a mark already in about 8 months on the job. They basically have gone through just a makeover in terms of everything and how they handle business, how they do stuff. And, you know, the Dana Holgorsen era had its ups, but there were a lot of downs. And this is a situation that Willie Fritz has been around the block many, many years. He's gone to programs, and everywhere he's been a winner. And this was the first one, you know, that he's been at a Power 5 school, Power 4 school. So they've been real impressed. We've watched practice. You know, I've gotten to see him in action. The guy who's, I think he's 63, 64 years old maybe, and he's got the energy of a 30-year-old. So they're really clicking on all cylinders. It may take a while for the product to get to where they need it to be, but I wouldn't put anything past in terms. They won't get outworked, and I think that's the number one thing that they needed to start, because this program had become complacent the last few years, and it needed a shot of new energy.
So we've seen these former AAC schools in the Big 12 have some national success. We saw it with Central Florida. We saw it with Cincinnati. We saw it with Houston, where they sustained a really good team for several years. What is the difference in doing that and doing that in the Big 12? What's the bigger picture look like on what it really takes to accomplish that in a power conference when you're playing those schools each and every week?
Well, I mean, it's a step up in weight division. I mean, you're now in a heavyweight league where I think the biggest thing in year one was each week they were going up against a really tough opponent, and no knock on the AAC, but you know, you don't have a Temple, or you didn't have a South Florida, for instance, or you know, just school that you could not have the grind of back-to-back games, and that's sort of what they encountered last year, and that's the way life is going to be moving forward, and what the way you get into their class is you have to recruit. You have to beef up your roster. You have to get that better. You have to invest money. You have to basically lay all your cards on the table. And that's sort of what this athletic department is slowly doing. You know, they hire a new AD over the weekend in Eddie Nunez, and they've got work to do. You know, it's the smallest operating budget in the country. It's the most subsidized, or one of the most subsidized programs and departments as a whole in the country. So the sports that matter, you know, men's basketball carries its weight. You got to get something out of your football program. And from attendance standpoint, from fundraising, donations, all that stuff, it's just not there. And that's the surprising thing, because you're in a big city like Houston, in a big market where you think that you could, you know, use that to your advantage. Now they're building a $140 million football operations center that opens in a little less than a year. That's going to help big time. That's the stuff that you need, that basketball already has, and you can see what basketball is doing with that stuff and with having a solid head coach in Kelvin Sampson. So that's sort of the blueprint that football, usually you see it the other way around. That's what football is trying to emulate basketball and get to that level.
Joseph Duarte, our guest from the Houston Chronicle. We're talking Houston Cougars football for 2024. So you mentioned Houston's in a metropolis, but the Houston Texans are garnering a ton of attention, especially with this young quarterback they have and what they showed in the second half of the 2023 season. How much does that affect the attention being paid to Houston Cougar football?
Well, Houston's competing with not only the Texans, but you got the Astros, who are regularly in at least the ALCS series and World Series, and then, you know, don't forget the Rockets are going on with the NBA. So there's a lot of competition for dollars in this city. You know, if you think Houston's got a bad look across town 5 miles in Rice University, which is in the American, really struggles to get some attention, and, you know, they're a smaller fan base. So it does affect them. It affects them on how they're able to do corporate sponsorships and able to pack the stands, because in my 12 years on the beat, I've only probably seen 4 sellout crowds in 12 years for football, if that. And that's just the way it goes. Some of them were because of performance. It was just not a good year. Some of it was the pandemic. And most of it was just that once they lost the fan base, it's been hard to get them back. And I think that's where Willie Fritz comes in. He's been well received. A lot of people think that he's the one that's going to bring this program back and put them back on a level where they're competing regularly. Because let's face it, in the Big 12 now, Texas and Oklahoma are gone. This thing is up for grabs in terms of what school wants to sort of be the torchbearer now. And is that Oklahoma State? Is that Kansas State? Is it maybe Texas Tech? It's right there. And if you're Houston, you have a chance. And not this year from a competitive standpoint probably, but long term, this is an opportunity, and I think not only Houston, but all other 15 Big 12 schools need to realize that there's the opportunity there to really become the next big dog, so to speak, with the departures of those other two schools to the SEC.
Yeah, let's talk about Willie Fritz, because, you know, I just mentioned some of those teams that had success in the AAC nationally, and he certainly did that with Tulane. So what does he have to prove coming over to the Big 12, his first time really in a power conference? And does the athletic administration see him as a stabilizer to kind of get the program back on its feet, or might he coach into his 70s with Houston?
Yeah, you know, just watching him, I think he could be one of those 70-plus year olds eventually coaching. But, you know, yes, he's looked at as a stabilizer. But this isn't, you know, one, you know that he's not going to go looking for another job. I mean, this is, you know, frankly, this is probably, if it works out, his last job, and then he retires. But you have him for 5 years, and the way that Houston, outside of Dana, the two before them didn't last, you know, more than 2 to 3 years. So they're tired of having to change out coaches. They were doing that with that, you know, with between Art Briles, Kevin Sumlin, Tom Herman. All those coaches left for other jobs at bigger schools, and Houston just felt like they were a stepping stone. With Willie Fritz, they don't feel like that. They feel like he can come in, yes, bring the stability, but also move this program forward. He has won everywhere. I was a student at Blinn College back in the early 90s when Willie Fritz took over, and it was a horrible junior college program. Nobody came to the games. And within 3 years, with a quarterback named Michael Bishop, he wins the first of back-to-back national championships. So you fast forward that about another 10 years, he's at Sam Houston State, and he's got them in back-to-back FCS national championship games. You know, he goes to Georgia Southern, I believe. I'm sorry. And then you see that he takes a 2-10 Tulane team and has them in the Cotton Bowl, and the type of season they had. So he's a winner wherever he is. And I don't think that's going to be any different in the Big 12. It's just going to take some time. I don't think he's a miracle worker, but he certainly will bring stability to this program.
Joseph Duarte, our guest. By the way, it enhances your ability to win when you have Michael Bishop. I've noticed that throughout my years of covering.
Yeah, the quarterback. Well, I don't even remember the quarterback's name when I was a student.
So I don't know if Donovan Smith is Michael Bishop. I'm guessing he's not, but he's certainly a talented and proven quarterback. It looks like he has some receivers. It also looks like Houston has to shore up its offensive line, get better defensively. How many of those things can happen?
From the way Willie explains it, I think you're going to see a lot of guys for several weeks into the season until as they sort of piece this thing together. The O-line, one returner, so you're starting there. They lost their leading receiver from the portal, but they feel like they shored that up pretty good. And as far as Donovan Smith, you know, he didn't go through the spring in terms of throwing. He underwent off-season surgery on his shoulder. He's been sort of on a pitch count during the fall camp here just to keep him fresh. But he's a guy that, in terms of the eye test and stuff, the scouts have liked him. He has the potential, if he has a good year, to work his way into that day two, I believe, of the draft. But you're going to have to really have some things worked in your favor around him. You know, yes, he has some receivers. They lost one of their top backs in camp last week to an injury, Tony Mathis, so they're sort of look how they're going to solve that. And, you know, this is a very run-heavy offense that Willie Fritz runs, so it'll be interesting to see how they use Donovan Smith and the run aspect of things. But he's certainly got something to prove, and I think he knows that, because last year was a little bit of up and down, some inconsistencies, and then he gets hurt late in the year. But they feel like he's the guy that they go into the season, and hopefully that, you know, he has a really good, you know, I don't want to call it a bounce back season, but, you know, has a good season.
Well, Joseph, we made it through without one basketball question. I'm proud of us. We appreciate it. Thanks for coming on and talking Houston Cougars football. We may get you back as basketball season approaches, though.
Yeah, let me know. Basketball is always big, especially in your area, so I'd love to talk any hoops whenever you guys want.
Thanks, Joseph.
Thanks. All right, thank you, guys.
All right, Joseph Duarte. Always enjoy him from the Houston Chronicle. IHOP Hotline, we're joined by Blair Kirkhoff from the Kansas City Star. Blair, welcome.
Yeah.
We understand you're at a noisy Chiefs practice.
I am, yep. They played a... I guess I could have done that. I sure am. Sorry about that. Had a little technical difficulty. Yeah, Chiefs practice going on. Royals getting ready to play tonight. So we got quite a lot of activity here at the Truman Sports Complex.
Yeah, this is one of those times that, as a journalist in a city, that you just have to kind of shake your head. You've got the Chiefs with two consecutive Super Bowl wins. I think most people consider them to be a very strong candidate for a third, as long as Patrick Mahomes is healthy. And then you've got this Royals upstart franchise that last year lost 106 games. They have arguably the best player in the game now in Bobby Witt Jr.
I would argue that.
I might argue it too, but there's an argument to be made. And Blair, ignore my son, please. It's just one of those times, isn't it?
Not only that, and you're right. This is, you know, in the history of the Chiefs and the Royals, it's rare when they have been good at the same time, going back to the 70s. But in addition to that, the anticipation level for college football around here is as high as it's ever been. So I think these few weeks, couple of months, I mean, it's never felt better to be a sports fan in the, you know, in the heartland than it is right now. So, yeah, and you're right. Not only are the Chiefs and the Royals winning, they're doing it with maybe the best players in their sport. And, of course, that's not happened. Not at least at the same time in Kansas City. So it is. It's a wonderful time to be a sports fan around here.
Yeah, Missouri, Kansas, Kansas State, all ranked in the top 25. Just incredible. Go, Jeff.
All right. So the behind the back pass from Patrick Mahomes, I was surprised by two elements of it. One, that he's never done it before in a game. And two, that people were surprised that Patrick Mahomes threw a behind the back pass. That seems like something he would do regularly. So what were your thoughts? What was your take on that? Do you think we'll see Mahomes do that in a quote-unquote real game anytime?
Well, I don't see why not. To be honest with you, and everybody has seen it by now, I don't think it's a high-risk play or a low-percentage play. I, you know, to me, there's not much difference between that and a shovel pass and, you know, just a short pass to a, you know, to a receiver who knows it's coming. I think, yes, I do think we'll see it more. We saw it in practice, actually, up in training camp a week or so earlier, and then Mahomes and Andy Reid even talked about it after practice, and it was Mahomes that told us Andy Reid encourages that. He wanted to see it in the game, and there it was, you know, and just add it to the list of just, you know, conformity when it comes to Patrick Mahomes. How many different types of, you know, no look, left-handed, jumping, everything. He's, you know, it's funny. You know, Caleb Williams, the Bears quarterback, excuse me, guys, and the Bears will be in Kansas City on Thursday. He had a spectacular play on Saturday against the Bengals, that spin move, and then he throws it across his body to Roma Dunze for about a 40-yard gain. Really nice play. And Bears fans are, you know, they're so excited about it. And, you know, maybe the single best play by a Bears quarterback. And I'm thinking, well, that's a Sunday afternoon for Patrick Mahomes. It does something like that almost every game. And we're just kind of spoiled seeing him on a regular basis and all that he can do.
Longtime Kansas City Star sports writer Blair Kirchhoff is our guest. Back to the Royals, because I think they have a good chance of not only getting to the playoffs, but of perhaps even winning this division. But they do have a very difficult schedule about to start after this series with the Angels. First of all, are they built to perhaps win the division? Do you consider them to be a favorite? And on top of that, how well are they built to be sustainable and be in the playoff hunt year after year now?
Well, yeah, good questions, both of them. I think for this year, they've got a lot of things going for them, not the least of which is their starting pitching. It's been tremendous. Top five in Major League Baseball. I think people believed it was going to be improved, but I don't know if anybody saw this coming with the starter's ERA being what it is and, you know, having two all-star pitchers. And look, even Seth Lugo now, who's going to start tonight against the Angels, he's scuffling a little bit. But look at what Michael Wach has done here, and even Brady Singer coming off a really nice game. So they're just getting it done on the mound. And since picking up Lucas Irsay from Oakland, he's been the power arm this bullpen has needed. And, you know, he came in a leverage situation in the seventh inning against the Reds on Sunday and struck out Eleni La Cruz, right, with the bases loaded, one out. And he's just, kind of a missing piece to the bullpen. I think the Royals have found their closer with him, or at least their high leverage guy out of the bullpen. So, yeah, I think the Royals are in a position. They're about 70%, all the, you know, the analytics say they're about 70, 75% chance to make the playoffs. And then I think once they get there, they can do a little damage because of the pitching. And you're right, Bob. The schedule does get tougher. The Phillies this weekend, a lot of games against the Guardians coming up. And they still have some work to do. But it's one thing that I like about their position is they're still in a chase mode. You know, they still got the Twins and the Guardians in front of them. And it's not like they're trying to protect a lead. They're chasing it. They're going after it. And I like that position. And then sustainable, well, That's a good question, because the farm system is not, you know, there aren't a lot of prospects with, you know, in the farm. So I don't know about that. Look, Bobby Witt is going to be here, and he's locked up for a decade or more, and he's a generational talent. So, you know, you got that. Vinny Pasquantino is coming into his own. I think he's a 100 RBI guy for his, you know, for the foreseeable future. Salvi's still got a couple of years left, and there's the meat of the order. They need to find, you know, you want to see guys like Michael Garcia and Michael Massey, and, you know, just get a little more consistency with their bats. But I think that the days of the, you know, fifth place finish, certainly 100 loss seasons, those are well behind the Royals. And I think we are in for a longer stretch of success than what we had in the previous era, the 14-15 team. I thought they had a chance to draw that out longer than it did, and it only lasted a couple more years of a couple of 500 seasons, and that was it.
So, you know, we talked about Bobby Witt or mentioned him at the start, and, you know, I would probably, if I had a vote, I don't, never will, but I would probably vote for Aaron Judge as the American League MVP. But how miraculous is it that a guy from Kansas City is going toe-to-toe with the literal center fielder for the New York Yankees, like the most mythical position you can think of, a team coming off a 56-win season. Do you think Bobby can take that from Aaron Judge over the last month and a half?
Well, and Jeff, and Aaron Judge has had to have a monster year to do this. On pace for however many. What is he on? Is he going to get to 60? Or I don't know. His numbers are going to be phenomenal. But when it comes to Bobby Witt's going to, by all appearances, lead the American League, lead baseball in batting average, runs, and base hits. He'll be in the in the top five in a lot of other categories. And for the analytics crowd out there, he and Aaron Judge are in a virtual tie in WAR. So wins above replacement, which is a very respected measurement of success. I think if the vote were held today, Judge would be the AL MVP, but I think Bobby Witt would get some first place votes, and he would get everybody's second place vote who didn't vote for him. So it's great. When I referred to the 14-15 teams, their best finish in the MVP race, I think Lorenzo Cain was third in 2015, and he didn't have great numbers that year, but his defense was phenomenal, and I think he hit 300. I mean, Witt is on pace to have one of the, next to George Brett's 1980 season when he hit 390, this could be the best offensive, best all-around year for a Royals position player in club history. So very deserving of where he is and the accolades that are going to come his way. And I don't think this is a one-year wonder type thing. He's got too much speed and power and baseball smarts. And the way he elevated his game this year just – suggest to me that he is in for, and we're all in for, quite a ride here over the next decade.
All right. As a Cardinals fan, I've heard enough. I'm done. I can't take it anymore, Blair. Hey, we always appreciate your time coming on and talking about Kansas City sports. It's heady times for both the Royals and the Chiefs. Thank you so much.
Yeah, let the good times roll. Good talking to you guys.
Take care. Blair Kirchhoff from the Kansas City Star. We will take a break, come back and talk Bob and Jeff draft. We'll pick NFL teams. And then when the season's over, we'll go back and look at who had the best records, total those up for you.
And see who wins.
Keep track?
Yeah, I'll write it down somewhere.
Yeah, thank you.
You know Max will.
We'll do that next.